Wow, we are really heavy on the right side tonight. Kind of leaning this way. I don't know if some people converted or something or went over to this side.
The path is narrow.
I like that. They're just all coming over to your side, Pastor Mike. I don't know what the deal is. All right, before that gets any deeper, hope you noticed that we cut out the special tonight since we had three this morning. So, two of those were unintentional. It's always fun. I was talking with my dad this afternoon, and you know, I was like, "Boy, it's been crazy. Been gone for 2 weeks," and I'm sure they're like, "Wow, why did we let him come back?" It was a good time, and I'm looking forward to, in this next year, we're going to be introducing some new songs. I got planned out we're going to print off some copies of the music and kind of introduce some songs you might not be familiar with, but it's good to know that there's some in the hymnal, too, that we are not familiar with, so we can just go with that as well. But it's always exciting, you know, learning new songs, new ways that we can praise the Lord. It's really exciting to be back. We definitely missed everyone. It was a really good time with our families the last couple weeks, and it was good to see them all and get to introduce them to our new little one. They said hi to us a couple times, but it was good. Very thankful to be back, though. This is definitely home now, and you folks are definitely our family away from family, and we're very thankful for all of you. So tonight is obviously New Year's Eve, and as I was preparing the message this week, I was kind of thinking about what to talk about. And, you know, the conversation you see in the world and the news right now is everyone is asking, so what are your New Year's resolutions? What are you going to change and do different this year from this past year? What are you going to do to make life better for yourself? I did some interesting research. I found some surveys that have been done that most people that do resolutions, you know, they really don't keep them. The survey found that 1 in 10 people are going to ultimately fail with a resolution. That's 90% failure rate. That's pretty bad, but you could probably understand that. 50% of those people will fail by February, so within a month, not much time at all. And then 80% are going to fail by April. So it's really interesting. You see these people that really want to do this and are really strong about it, and then they just give up. Some of the popular resolutions that people do, obviously, I think the number one that you find is people like, well, I'm going to get healthy. You know, I'm going to go hit the gym, I'm going to run, I'm going to eat better, do all these things. And you see all these subscriptions to eating plans that you have to pay for. This is their big time right now. Gym memberships are really high. I'm really dreading going to the gym tomorrow afternoon because I know it's going to be extremely busy because everyone's going to be there. But by a couple months from now, it'll be back to the normal people. And then you have people who are saying, I want to just live life to the fullest. You know, I really didn't do this last year, so I'm going to do that this year. And you have some that are saying, I'm going to travel more. I'm going to get out and do some more stuff. You have some people that are saying, well, my resolution, I'm going to learn a new hobby. I'm going to do something new this year, try to figure out what I can do that I didn't do before. And then you have a lot of people that are saying, I'm going to save some more money. You know, I spent too much money this past year, and I need to save some more. You know, none of these are really bad things. They're all things that are really good, and it is better for us if you can actually do it, but actually sticking to it is the real problem. But as a Christian, how do we head into this new year? How do we come to the point where we say, as a believer, my outlook on life, and as I go into this 2018, it should be different from the world in general, from the unsaved population that are trying to figure out all these resolutions? How do we as believers go into it? My challenge for you tonight is that we should be resolute as Christians. We should be spiritually resolute. We shouldn't be making these resolutions, just saying, oh, I'm going to do that different, and then drop it. We should be making daily resolutions to follow the Lord. Resolute means to be purposeful, determined, and unwavering. So therefore, what should a Christian resolve to do? 1 Corinthians 10:31 should be our heart's desire as believers, our ultimate goal, our ultimate purpose on life. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. If we're truly believers, that should be our goal. And that should be our resolution, not just for 2018, but for 2019, for 2020, for the rest of our life. But even on a more smaller scale, on a day-to-day basis. A Christian should be purposeful, determined, and unwavering in their desire to glorify, worship, and serve our God. That should be our desire as believers. You know, as we come into this new year, and we're kind of thinking about what maybe we want to change in our lives, it's not bad to have resolutions to where you're like, well, I'm going to do this better. But as believers, we should be resolved in our minds to serve the Lord, to worship Him, him, to glorify him in every single thing that we do. You say, that's good. You know, maybe you even already kind of realized that. How do we do that? We do this by realizing that every single day that we're going to face this next year and the rest of our lives is a battle. Every single day we're going to face a new battle, we're going to face an old battle. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 7. Go ahead and turn there with me. We're going to spend the majority of our time in Ephesians tonight. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start there. When we think about life, when we think about what is happening on a day-to-day basis, if we're honest, we're going to acknowledge that there is a battle going on. If you can't see that battle, then we really need to acknowledge it, because it is happening. It is going on around us. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now apart from being kind of a confusing reading of that, what we get from it is that Paul is saying, my natural desire, fleshly desire, is to sin. But in my heart, I want to please the Lord. I want to do that which is right. But I want to do that, but then yet I still go back over here and I sin. Because the flesh is continually pulling us to sin. We don't have to choose to sin. It comes naturally. We are born sinners. This is not something that we are born and then we decide to do bad. It is in our nature. And we need to be aware that as we go about every single day, that Satan is real. That Satan is out there seeking us to lead us astray. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Folks, we need to get real about the presence of Satan. We need to get real about the presence of sin, the presence of evil. And the penalty for that, of yielding to that, is an eternity in hell. If we're not real about that in our own lives, we're not going to live that out in front of others. And the lost and the dying world around us, those people that have no hope in their lives, that are ultimately going to be spending eternity in hell if they do not accept Christ as their Savior, they need to know about it. We need to take every opportunity to let them know about that. But we start with realizing that in our lives right now. And we realize that as believers, thankfully because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are free from the power of sin. We're free from it controlling us, from it dominating our lives. We're also free from that penalty of sin, which is eternal damnation into hell. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer under that. But the presence of sin is still very real in our lives today. We are still tempted on a day-to-day basis. We have temptations flying at us all the time. And it is our decision whether we're going to yield to those temptations or we're going to yield to the Spirit that God has placed within us. We need to realize that this battle is a spiritual battle. This world, the reason a lot of these resolutions come about is because people get so overwhelmed with what's happening around them. They see all these battles, they see all these wars, they see all these rumors of wars, they see all this sickness, they see all of the natural disasters happening in the world, and they get so overwhelmed, they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't understand it. They think that everything around us, all these battles are happening are physical battles. The real true battle that we are facing, folks, is a spiritual battle. The troubles of this world get overwhelming when they don't make sense. When an unbeliever sees what's happening, it doesn't make sense to them. They're always asking the question, why this? You see in the news, oh boy, this is crazy, something else is happening, another shooting. We have no idea why this happens. It's because there's a spiritual battle going on, folks. And it impacts us on a day-to-day basis, Christians and non-Christians. The realization of a spiritual battle puts all of these events into perspective for a believer. We realize we begin to understand why this is happening. We may not know the exact reason, but we can see because there is a battle going on. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." This is a spiritual battle happening around us. We see this happening constantly. Then turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to spend the remainder of our time tonight. The reality of this spiritual warfare. Pastor Randy talked about this morning. We see the different things that are happening around us. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This battle that we're facing is not against flesh and blood. It may seem like it. It may seem like these people that we're going up against, or we have these countries that are doing these things, we have all this happening around us, and people are always causing problems. It's not ultimately flesh and blood. Verse 12 goes on to say, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, folks, in order to be prepared for this battle, we need to put on something. We need to be prepared. And that's what these next few verses show us. We need to be daily putting on the whole armor of God. Look down at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on the whole armor of God. Why the emphasis on whole here? Couldn't it have the Lord just said, put on the armor of God, and everyone would have maybe understood that. We realize that we as believers, we may, as we're going to go through this list here in a moment, we may be like, yeah, I put that on. I put that piece of armor on. And then you get to another one, like, well, you know, boy, sometimes I don't put that one on. You think back in Christ's time, in biblical times, when they wore armor, it was for a very good reason, because they didn't want to die. You know, we realize we have armor that we should be putting on. And yet many times, we put on one or two pieces of the armor, and we just leave one off. You know, Satan, who is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, knows exactly where to go when we are at our weakest point. He knows exactly where we have left ourselves open to attack. And if we are leaving off any piece of the armor, we are leaving ourselves open to an attack from Satan. We need to realize that a soldier back in this time, that they did not take days off from wearing their armor when they were in battle. When they're in a war, they were constantly prepared. You know, even when they were sleeping, a lot of times they would just take off something that they would just take off a light piece. They always had their sword right next to them. They were prepared at all times. And if they had to take something off, it was right next to them to put on. Then they'd just wake up one morning and be like, well, you know, it's a Tuesday. I think I'll leave my breastplate off. And I probably won't bring my shield today. Probably don't need those. No, every single day that they were in a battle, they wore every single piece of that armor. Do we realize that every single day of our lives we're in a battle? There's no days off in a spiritual warfare. Every single day of our life, we should be prepared for this battle that we are facing. We are always at war, and we need to be ready for it. So let's look at these pieces of armor that we should be placing on every single day. Verse 14, we see, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The first one is truth. You see, the girding here signifies preparing for battle. What it was referring to is back in this time, they would wear this thing that would protect them. And when they would want to run, though, they would have to bind it up, essentially turn it in what was like a man skirt, into like a pair of shorts so that they could run. Because it's really hard to run when you got all this stuff just hanging down there. So they would bind it up. They were girding their loins. They were preparing themselves for battle so that they were the most able that they could to be in this battle. And to do this with truth, the language here that Paul is using, he's saying the first thing that we need to do as we're preparing for battle is to clothe ourselves with truth. In a world that is full of lies, many times truth seems non-existent. You know, we see all these lies going about and it's easy to believe them. It's easy to take a lie as a truth. But if we are not going to God's word as the ultimate truth, then we're not going to know truth. In a world where we have all these things that we just really aren't sure what to believe, in a world where there's all this news coming out, and is that true or is that false? It's hard to determine what is true. But God tells us what is true in his word. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God desires us for us to walk in truth, to constantly be clothed with truth. But what is that one true source of truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we are doubting what is true, if we don't think we can trust anything that's going on around us, we can always consistently go back to the word of God as the true source of everything. If we're doubting, we don't know what's going on in the world, we don't understand anything, go to God's word. Find the truth in God's word, because God is true and his word is true. And we can constantly believe that and we can trust in that. So we see, first of all, we need to be girding our loins with truth. Second, we need to be placing righteousness in our lives. Look at verse 14, the second part there. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, putting on righteousness signifies that we are imitators of God and desire to live as he would have us to live. You see, by placing and clothing ourselves with righteousness, we're saying we don't have a righteousness in and of ourselves. We have righteousness only from God. And by clothing ourselves with righteousness, we're saying we're not able to have righteousness by ourselves, but we're placing God's righteousness on us and clothing ourselves with that. And that is how we're going to go and live our life. Righteousness should be something that we are seeking once again on a day-to-day basis. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, adding truth and righteousness, these are things that we're putting on in preparation for the battle. Maybe they don't necessarily deal with the actual combat sense, but if we don't have truth and righteousness in our lives, we're not prepared for battle. If a soldier did not have his loins girt about, and that he didn't have on his breastplate, you know, he was not ready for battle. He was not able to completely protect himself. He was not able to do his fullest ability as a soldier. And so are we as Christians unable to be able to do what Christ has us to the fullest extent if we're not girding our loins and we're not living our life with a breastplate of righteousness on. Then thirdly, we need to be having our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, in the midst of a battle, our goal should be bringing a message of peace. Think about where peace comes from. Is there much peace in the world today? When we look at the news, there's really not a lot of stories of peace, if at all. We see what's happening in the world around us, in our own country. You know, we were just in Chicago for the last week. Thankfully not like downtown Chicago. It's like a suburb of Chicago. Although I always joke with my wife, she's still a Chicagoan, even though she tries to push herself as far away from them as possible. Chicago has an absolutely terrible rate of violence. It is not a good place at all. And you constantly hear stories of people that are dying or being shot or terrible things happening. You know, just in a simple story, city like that, you hear all these things that are going on. There's not a lot of peace there. There's not a lot of peace anywhere in this world around us. As we're going into a battle, wouldn't you think that people would be maybe drawn to a message of peace? If you go into this battle, the spiritual warfare, and you're coming across people every single day, and you can bring them a message of peace that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, think of the hope that you can give them through God's word and through the peace that is in it. That should be our desire. That should be our goal. God promises us this true peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid. Not only is this peace good to be telling other people about and to be letting them know that there is a peace in this world of turmoil, but we need to remind ourselves of that. You know, we're not immune to these feelings of depression and sadness that can overcome us when we get so overwhelmed with what is happening in this world. It can become discouraging. It could become overwhelming. But we have to remind ourselves that God is a God of peace. That God is a God that when he has to, he is going to bring judgment. But he desires peace. And ultimately, one day, he will bring peace. And ultimately, we know that he has already won that victory. And when we get overwhelmed with what's happening in the world around us, we can remind ourselves that Christ has won the victory. And one day, he will rule. And one day, we will be living in a world of peace under him. And that's exciting. And we can look forward to that. But right now, we have to encourage ourselves with what will happen in the future. We also have to be telling other people about that true peace. The number four, we see the shield of faith. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all here signifies over everything. You see, this shield here, we think a lot of times, you see a lot of kids. When I was a kid, I got this little soldier kit. I had like a sword and a shield and a helmet, and I had a breastplate. It was really cool. I was really little. I really liked that. But the shield they give you was like this thing that you strap on, and it was like maybe that big, and you had to like protect everything around there. It was more like a buckler. You see these pictures of the shields that these soldiers had back then. They weren't these little, small little things. These Roman soldiers that the people here were familiar with, they had these shields that would cover the whole body. And these things were huge. They had to carry them around, and they would do that so that when there was an attack coming, when these fiery darts are coming at them or the arrows are being shot at them, so they could put it in front of them and they could protect themselves completely. And in the same sense, we can protect ourselves above all over everything with the shield of faith, so that we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, a genuine faith will deflect all attempts by the wicked to harm you. This does not mean that there is going to be times in our life when things are going to happen and it's going to hurt. But if we have true, genuine faith, this means spiritually in our lives that nothing can truly harm us. That nothing can come into our lives that is going to ultimately last forever. Because we realize that whatever pain and suffering we feel on this earth, it is temporary. One day we are going to be lifted up into the presence of God, and all tears are going to be wiped away. All pain and all sorrow is going to be gone. And we will be with our Lord. And that shield of faith, that mindset of faith, will get us through those difficult times on this earth. And if we have a true, genuine faith in what God is doing and what He can do in us, then we realize that we, as we've just talked about, we've already won the victory. And He is going to give us that strength. This is a full, complete faith that protects every single part of us. This isn't just a little bit of faith that maybe in this area of my life. I have faith that God's going to protect me the next couple months. I have faith that maybe God's going to protect me in this area of my life. This is a faith and a trust that God is going to protect us in every single area, in every single aspect of our lives. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. If we truly desire to serve God, to please Him, to glorify Him in everything that we do, as is our ultimate purpose, we need to live by faith. Live by a faith that trusts in Him. Live a faith that you showed when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't forget that. Be focusing on that faith and live it out every single day. Then number five, we see the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, the helmet of salvation, we need to be living in acknowledgement of our salvation. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, but ye are not under the law, but under grace. Many times I think Christians need to be reminded of something. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We have been saved from a life in hell. We are living underneath the grace that God has given us. Yeah, many times we live like we're defeated. Many times we live like we're still unsaved. That, boy, there's no hope. We, of anyone in this world, should have the most hope, the most joy in our lives. Because even when all circumstances around us are just confusing and despair is around us, we can't explain anything, we can always go back to the joy of our salvation. We can always go back to that. And the reason that Paul is using this here as the helmet of salvation is the head is obviously a very important thing. And to be protected on your head was vital for any soldier. And we need to be consciously aware that we are saved. It is protecting our mind. And if our mindset is that we are saved and we're living in that salvation, then all these other things are going to come right along with it. And we'll be constantly living in that mindset of salvation, and therefore, we're not going to be overwhelmed by what's going on around us. We serve a risen Savior that has already won the victory. We are saved. We have been given that salvation. Sin does not have dominion on us any longer. And we can be thankful for that. And we need to be living in light of that. The number six, the sword of the Spirit. It says here in verse 17, the second part, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is an offensive weapon. You know, the rest of these have been preparation things that you're doing or defensive things that you're placing on yourself. The sword of the Spirit is a defensive weapon. is an offensive weapon. We are to constantly be using the sword of the Spirit. How do we do that? Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means to everyone that we come in contact with, we're using the sword of the Spirit. We're telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ. We're telling them about God's word and the hope that it brings. We're defeating the lies of this world that are coming at us with the truth of God's word, as we have already seen. We're coming at those situations where we don't have understanding and we don't know what's going on and we're just confused with the truth of God's word. We're using it as an offensive weapon to the lies of Satan, through the fiery darts of Satan. And we're saying that we're using this and we know that we can use this God's word as truth. We can use it offensively. And then lastly, verse 18. Not always mentioned along with the spiritual armor because it's not given an actual piece of armor. But in the language here that Paul is using, this is a continuation of his thought. You look in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and the supplication for all saints. You can give this any kind of name, armor you can think of. Some people refer to this as the spear of prayer. This is another offensive weapon. You know, not all weapons are something that you're always going to see and you're always going to be using at all times, but you should be using them. Prayer is something that we have the ability to use every single day. And are we utilizing it? Are we taking advantage of it? Paul doesn't say here, pray when it is convenient. Pray when you think about it. Pray just, you know, every once in a while. Praying always with all supplication. It means being a constant mindset of prayer and a constant mindset where you're seeking the Lord. You're going before Him. You're having that relationship with Him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God desires for us to be talking to Him, to have that relationship with Him. This idea here of this spiritual armor is something that we need to be in the mindset of as we go into this year. But not just for this year, for the rest of our lives. But if we're going to truly do that, we have to come into the mindset of doing this every single day. You see, a soldier would get up in the morning and they would put on their armor. It's the first thing they did. They're in a battle. They're trying to be ready. They get up, first thing they do, they put on their armor. Yet how many of us kind of put on our armor one piece at a time, like throughout the day as you think about it, and you're leaving yourself wide open for a spiritual defeat? We need to wake up every single day renewed in our desire to please the Lord, to glorify Him in everything that we do. And we can only do that fully and completely by preparing ourselves and being completely armed with what He has given us. We need to be girding our loins with truth. We need to be placing on that breastplate of righteousness. We need to be placing on our feet. We need to have that gospel of peace, being ready to tell anyone else that is willing to listen about this gospel of peace in this time of turmoil. We need to have this helmet of salvation. We need to be reminding ourselves that we are saved. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to be using the sword of the Spirit, God's word, to win others to Christ, to be telling them about the truth. And we need to be in a constant mindset of prayer. Folks, as we head into this year, be renewed in your desire to use these on a daily basis. There's so many different things that we go throughout Scripture that are important in our life. But God desired that we know exactly what these are when we're facing a spiritual warfare. And we realize we're facing that every single day. So let's resolve as believers to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our own. This isn't our own armor that we can get. God has given it to us, and we can only use it through Him. So as we go from here tonight, let's resolve to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and see how He can use us. And see how He can take a Christian that is committed to Him and resolve to be strong in Him and use him as we go forward from here. And realize that it is a daily commitment. It's something that we have to daily resolve to do. This isn't something, as many people will do with these resolutions, where you decide on January 1st, I'm going to resolve to do this. And then January 7th rolls around and you're like, did I resolve anything? I don't remember that. This is something where January 1st, you get up, say, I'm resolving to be committed to the Lord. I'm going to put on every single piece of this armor. January 2nd, you get up and you do this exact same thing. January 3rd, it's a daily commitment to the Lord. And that's something that we need to be doing as believers, because we should be different from this world in general. We should be different. We should stand out because we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Let's live like it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that we can see from Ephesians. Lord, it is my desire that I live my life every single day for you. Lord, there's days where I forget, where I don't purpose in my heart to live for you. Lord, those days are not fun. Lord, I pray that every single day, the rest of our lives, that we would all desire to please you. Our ultimate goal, to be glorifying your name. Lord, that we would do that by placing on this armor. Lord, by being prepared for these battles that are coming and these things that are happening to us. Lord, by seeking out the lost, by telling them about you. Lord, there's so many ways that we can show that we are desiring to please you and to glorify your name. Help us to do that. Help us to go to your word when there seems to be no sense of truth in the world around us. We can always find truth in your word. Thank you so much for this body of believers. I pray that you would use this church in a great and mighty way for your glory in this upcoming year. I know you have amazing plans for this church and for every single person here individually. I pray that we'd be yielded to that plan. And Lord, that we would grow to love you more every single day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn to number 485. Number 485, we're going to just sing the first.